I've got several different verses that I've put up there on the screen for you. But he says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Because that's what happens when you don't live in realization that Christ is coming back. When you forget about judgment, we have a tendency to slide into sinful behavior. And he says, that's going to happen. It's happening. Don't we see that? It's been happening ever since Christ left, is that people have become lax and undisciplined and have just given themselves to evil. They're going to say, where is his coming? Ever since the creation of the world, everything's been the same. But Peter reminds them, God is not slow in keeping his promise. He says, for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It's going to happen. It's going to be like a thief in the night. This order, this universe is going to be destroyed. A new kingdom is coming, and you just need to be patient. And as you're being patient, God is being patient, because perhaps there are some people who need to be alerted to the second coming of Christ, and they haven't been yet. And so God's hesitation may be a demonstration of his patience and his love so that more people can come to know him. So as we come to the end of this year, do you think about that? Do you think about the end is coming at some point? Are you living your lives with that in mind? And so I need to look at my life. You need to look at your life, and you need to say, is there any unrepentant, unconfessed, willful sin in my life, in your life, that I need to take care of? Have I become lax? And I think that needs to be in the forefront of our minds. Am I ready? Are you ready? I used to have this recurring dream. I haven't had it in a long time. It's a recurring dream of my college years, my college experience. And so it's kind of far behind me now. And so that dream has become somewhat of a distant memory now. But I remember the dream. It was the end of the semester, and the finals were upon us, and the papers all had to be turned in. And I had registered for the class, but I had never gone to a class. I didn't do any of the papers. I hadn't studied for the final, and I was just in a panic. And I would wake up in this panic thinking, oh, no, because I'm always prepared. I was a good student. Yeah. I would just wake up, and I'd have to talk myself out of this anxiety that I was experiencing and remind myself that's just a dream. I didn't register for that class. I am a good student. I've passed. I've got my degree. I don't have to worry about this anymore. But that whole feeling of anxiety reminds me, is that how I'm going to feel when Jesus returns? Am I prepared? Am I living a life that is honoring him? In 1 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul writes again concerning our preparation for that day. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with all of his holy ones. So are you prepared? And being prepared is not just avoiding sin, but it's doing what is good. And that's even more scary to me. Am I about doing the business of God? Am I using the gifts, the talents that he's given to me? It's not that I haven't done anything wrong, but it's about whether or not I've done what is right. James speaks about this in his letter. He says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them it is sin. So on this last day of the year is a time to look back and, did I accomplish what I wanted to accomplish spiritually? Did I let just another year slip by and not get involved in ministry? Was I not in the Word the way that I was supposed to be in the Word? Did I not share my faith with people that I needed to share my faith with? Did I not just do bad things, but did I do the things that God has called me to do? Did I miss out on opportunities? In 2 Thessalonians, there's a couple of verses that deal with a word it's a word that Paul only uses in 2 Thessalonians, the word idle. And that's one thing that seems to have happened in the church here, is that people waiting for Christ to come back, expecting him maybe to come any day, they just were just going to sit back and not do anything because he's going to be here any moment. And so Paul addresses that idleness. In fact, that word idle in the NIV is translated idle, but this word can also be translated as disorderly or lazy or undisciplined. He says that's not a characteristic of the Christian. So he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. Later on in the same chapter, we hear that some of you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy. They're busy bodies. You know, idleness may be just as effective for Satan as tempting you to do evil. Maybe he just wants you to sit back and do nothing. And he accomplishes a lot by making you become lazy. When he comes back, I don't want to be found doing evil. And I also don't want to be found doing nothing. I want to be found doing what is right. But that can be tiring, isn't it? To constantly doing what is good. Well, Paul talks about that also in 2 Thessalonians. He says, as you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. He had to say that in Galatians. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. He says, for at the proper time, it's going to happen, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I get tired sometime, don't you? I get tired a lot of the time. But this concept of Christ coming back, it can refresh me knowing that relief is there at some point. And to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, I may be tired, but I'm doing something for him. So in your tiredness, you just can't give up. I need to stay with it. When we were over in Thailand, one activity we did, we went fishing in this pond, and it was a stock pond. I'm not a fisherman, so I need a stock pond. I can't find the places to fish, but this was, you know, we were going to catch some fish. And when we went to this fishing preserve, this pond, the guide gave us the equipment, whatever it's called, rod, reel, line, whatever. And I thought, this looks pretty hefty. And my son Shen was with us, and he knows how to fish. He knows everything about fishing. And he agreed, this looks like we're going after something pretty big. And sure enough, those were big fish in this pond. I mean, they were huge. And so, you know, people were pulling these huge fish out, and so I hooked one. It was taking me forever to reel this fish in. And Shen was giving me advice. He says, you gotta give him some slack and then pull it and reel it. Is that right? Pull it and reel it. I don't know. But I was trying my best to get this fish in. And I'd seen the size of these fish, and this was really wearing me out. I was tired. I was worn out. And so I say to my son, Shen, who's the fisherman in the family, I said, Shen, would you give me a break? Would you come over here and take this rod and or at least help me? And I was surprised what he said to me. He said, no. But then I'll never forget what he said after that. He said, Dad, I know you're tired, but the fish is getting tired too. There's this force of evil working in my life, working in your life, that's making you tired. But I believe that force, the evil one, Satan himself, gets tired as well. And I believe that because of these two scriptures up here in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, he went through those three temptations and Jesus was tired, but he didn't give up. Then at the end of the third temptation, the devil left him. The devil said, all right, I guess that's enough. Angels came and attended him. And then James in his letter says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is persistent, but he's not tireless. And so don't give up before he does. So I took my son's advice. I kept after that fish, and sure enough, the fish wore out before I did. We got someone to net him in, pulled him out of the water, and I had won the battle, and I got a picture to prove it. Look at that fish there. Yes, thank you. Round of applause. Thank you. This year may have been more than you bargained for. And you may be tired. And you may be thinking of giving up your faith and giving into evil. You may be thinking of just giving up totally, but don't. Don't give up before the evil one does. And someday, hopefully soon, the devil will wear out and those refreshing angels will arrive. Let me read to you again from 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And as I read this, let me ask all of you to stand. And to be encouraged by these words of the Apostle Paul, written to people who are anxiously waiting for Christ to come back, who, like many of us, were probably worn out and tired of doing good, resisting evil, resisting temptation. Paul writes this to us. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Church, someday the waiting will be over and we will rejoice. Another year has come and gone and still no Jesus. But rest assured, he will come back. And all the waiting and all the work will be worth it. So let's join together in song as we imagine the glory of that day.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I?